this analysis is basically providing some alternative measures of progress against the MDGs. We're not discounting the measures that are regularly used to look at progress, but we're adding on another measure that looks at absolute changes in performance against the MDGs. And what that analysis shows is that progress is being made across a large swathe of low-income countries, and many of them in Africa.
Now, as you know, we don't hear much good news about the Millennium Development Goals, especially in the run-up to the G8 and the G20 summits. So where did the good news come from?
Well, it's really partly by looking at slightly different metrics, but it's also that some of that good news has been hidden underneath measures of progress that tend to penalize countries that had poorer initial starting points in 1990. So for many African countries, they found themselves being relatively penalized in assessments of progress compared to countries that were slightly better off in 1990. So what this analysis does really is sort of take the lid off that and actually try to value the absolute changes in progress that, or changes in performance that African countries have made since 1990. It's not better, it's different, but it does tend to show a number of these countries in a much better light.
So what does it mean as we approach 2015?
Well, it means that the MDG targets still remain a very severe stretch goal for many African countries, and many of them will, in the purest sense, not make those MDG targets, but they will have made progress nevertheless, and that progress has been accelerating somewhat in the last decade, and we need to value that progress. So it's not all lost. It will certainly be a difficult story to tell in 2015, but I think what this study contributes to is a slight rebalancing of the sense of pessimism about what's been achieved.
So what does this mean for G8 leaders when they look at the Millennium Development Goals, as they will in their summit? What can they do with this information?
This information basically gives them good cause to continue to support low-income countries and particularly African nations in their endeavor to improve the lives of the poorest people. This data suggests that the combined efforts of national policymakers and governments and the international community has been paying off. This is not a lost cause. It still remains a significant challenge, development in Africa, but there are signs that progress is being made, and that should give us renewed commitment and renewed energy, particularly for the G8 leaders, should give them increased purpose to support change on the continent.
Did the analysis look at what the developing countries did to make this progress?
We certainly started to tease out from some of the initial case studies what factors have contributed across the piece to better progress. The first is sort of sound economic management. A number of African economies have gone through fairly painful economic reforms in the 80s and 90s, and those are beginning to pay off now in terms of improved conditions for economic growth. There's also evidence that consistent and committed leadership from governments and political leaders to the cause of reducing poverty is beginning to pay off. And also putting in place the right kind of institutions to ensure that public sector funds and aid resources get to citizens and are handled in a responsible and accountable way is also beginning to pay off in terms of results.